My name's Mel Herbert, and he's Tom Wolfson. We're going to be talking about the cars, the batteries, the solar panel, the stock price, the man, the myth. We're going to be talking about everything Tesla. Why? Because we're talking Tesla.
I listened to the Master Plan show, boys. Thought it was very good.
You know, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, Talking Tesla 44.
What?
44?
What? That's two fours. That's a palindrome of numbers.
That's true.
The same forward and backwards.
Bad backwards. It's 44.
Certainly not.
Are there palindromic numbers? Do we know that as a thing?
What is the largest palindromic number that the world has ever discovered?
Is that a thing?
Get back to it. I have no idea. I
just wow, that's
hey, look,
pretty cool.
We are doing something a little bit different here because, you know, last time we spoke, we were late. There was the master plan. There was Saki.
Saki.
And a lot of people said, probably the best Talking Tesla we've ever done. Could you always do it late at night, lubricated with Saki?
So we're doing it 8 in the freaking morning.
Yeah, so unfortunately we can't do that because it is 9 o'clock in the morning and we're not in our usual studio. We're over in an art studio.
I think that the smell of all of the turpentine fumes might actually help to make this an excellent Talking Tesla.
Yeah, who needs Saki when you have fumes?
This is a beautiful little art studio here in Woodland Hills. It's called Art Departure, where you come and do art and look at art and apparently get high on art. That's why the kids and the parents like coming back here. I feel so good when I go to Art Departure. It's great.
Take a deep breath, everyone.
All right, let's get started with what's most important. Tom, you reported last week, if I remember correctly, that you took a perfectly good RAV4, which was electrified in a Tesla nature, and decided to smash it into another car. The car did what it's supposed to do, explode. What are the updates?
Well, I have spent a good portion of the last 48 hours trying to decide what my new car is going to be because the RAV is no mas.
So although they totaled it.
Maybe somebody will be able to buy a salvage title RAV4 in Los Angeles. I would not recommend it. It has a lot of broken things upon it.
So what are you going to get? And take us through the process of deciding.
He's just got this horrible look. It's going to take us. So I can afford, if I really wanted to buy whatever I wanted. However, I am not cheap, but I am frugal. So I could buy another RAV4 for about the same. I could buy a little older RAV4 with the same mileage, the 2012 version, for a little less.
Yes.
But I gave myself an opportunity to reset. I can buy a Leaf for like half.
A brand new Leaf?
No, a used Leaf.
Okay.
A used EV Leaf, because that's reuse, recycle, reduce, right?
Yeah, I like it, yes.
And then the other part of it is I don't. It's about the same as the RAV, no? Do you not agree? Do you agree or disagree?
If it's one of the first generation Leafs, it's really 80 miles is really all you're going to get. But it's one of the newer ones in the last year or so. It's 100 miles, or it's this year, 110 miles.
In a perfect world, I would buy a 2013 SL. But
I would just recommend the Leaf you buy, it be from the Northwest, not the Southwest, because the battery has been cooked for how many years now?
How would I even know that?
I don't know.
Listen to the accent. You can't get there from here. No, that's Scotland.
That would be safe. I don't know what the hell you're talking about. So the other part of it is now we're in a reset period. We have a Bolt coming out very soon.
Yes.
Yeah. We have a Model 3 coming out very soon.
Not that soon for you.
Wow.
That's a year and a half away.
I like to look at myself as being at the top of the list, but you know, whatever. Thanks, Johnny Negatoshis.
A year and 5 months.
Although most people think 2019 till real production is ramped up.
Did I see you at the store? I didn't see you at the store in the line with 400 people.
No, I wasn't there. I was on the line.
Let's assume that you need a car now, which you do.
I don't know the answer. If you had to put me on the spot right now, I don't know the
apparently that's what I'm trying to do.
I don't know the answer to that question. I haven't made any decisions at this point. I've gone from buying a – okay, I'll run you through the list.
Yeah, that's what I'm trying to get you to do. It's like, figure that out.
So 4Runner, Toyota 4Runner, not electric. Okay. Highlander hybrid, all-wheel drive, also not electric, but hybrid, pretty good gas mileage. Mm-hmm. Leaf.
Yeah.
I looked at a Tesla, not going to happen.
Why?
Because I can't see putting that much more money into electric.
But a lot of these cars you're talking about are the same price?
No, they are not. The Teslas are like 47, 48, 49,000. The
RAV4 is going to be the same?
29. No, used. We're talking used, buddy. Everything used.
Everything used.
Not buying anything new. So let's just put that out of our little heads. If the Bolt was out, I would consider it, but I've never seen it. My wife test drove the Mercedes-Benz, which is the same price as the RAV4, right? The new, you know, Tesla's doing the Mercedes-E now.
Mm-hmm.
She didn't like it. I didn't go because I knew she wasn't going to like it.
Right.
I had a feeling that she wasn't going to like it. She said it actually didn't have very much pickup. It didn't feel like the same. It must be much heavier than the Toyota.
Again, these are two drive systems in one vehicle. So you're getting two for the weight of
No, it's the two. Same drive system.
Well, you're getting a battery system, an EV system, and you're getting... Are you talking about
the all-electric Mercedes is basically what Tesla moved to. No, that's okay. Right. It's all right. You're allowed to be confused.
That's punishable by death.
And so there are a lot of EV choices. Most of them don't have a lot of range. And then the other thing you think about, okay, so do I wait? I could buy a Leaf. There's not a whole lot of damage. It's $10,000 to $15,000.
You got that change in your back pocket.
It's not that I don't have that change in my back pocket, but I mean, if you look at it over the next 5 or 6 years, I'll probably, if I bought a 4Runner or a Highlander, I'd spend that much money on gas. I went to a gas station yesterday. I wasn't even sure how it worked anymore, to be honest.
What is this liquid?
It was very confusing. I haven't been there in a very, very long time. They smell a little like... Yeah. Like fuel?
They smell like the end of the world is what they smell like.
So, and that's the thing. I do this show, and I don't want that to influence whether or not I do the EV. Now, a lot of people would just say, buy another RAV4, call it done. That's where you were already locked into that vehicle. But it's a reset, potential reset period.
Are you finding that there is not enough choices still?
Well, the problem with everything that I talk about, I am, as you know, more than any of you, what is my mantra? Supercharging.
Yes.
Right? So the Bolt, right, could be an excellent car, but 200 miles, that's a lot of range. They are very much, everything I've read, they are very much counting on
CCS,
on fast charging infrastructure, but it's still not going to be as fast, although we're going to get to a story that could potentially change that.
Mm-hmm. They're not building it out. They're waiting for somebody else to
GM's
build it.
Yeah, GM's not going to build it out.
We did that story a few months ago, maybe. That's like
They're
using CCS, which is potentially very fast charging, not as fast as a supercharger. But there's not that many in California yet, less than Chatamo, and there's no clear plan about who's going to build it out. And Chevy's is like, we're not doing it.
So let's be realistic. Every EV on the market right now, except for the Tesla, is a commuter car. Would you agree?
Yep. It's not a travel car around the world, although we have a story of a RAV4 going 400 miles, which sounds like a big pain in the buttocks.
Yeah. I mean, I would say that it's about where you are on the spectrum of electrification. So when I first got my Tesla in I think I bought it I paid for the down payment in 2012. There were no superchargers. And it was like at the supercharger event that I realized, wow, I'm glad I put this money down. This is actually could be a real car. I might actually buy this thing. And now I really don't have much of a care. Although when I do go off-road, Tesla-wise, off-road, like off the main highways, I have to deal with, range problems. But it's nothing like when I first bought the car. If you bought a Bolt today, you would have that same situation. You'd be looking for RV parks. You'd be looking for that few CCS here and there to charge yourself up to get from here to Park City, Utah, or to Mammoth or something like that. But I just think it's so obvious. You're standing here in front of me. You're wearing a shirt that says talking Tesla, and you're saying you're not going to buy a Tesla. I can't
see
that.
You're on the biggest Tesla podcast the world has ever seen.
Yeah.
I own a Tesla. Owns a Tesla. Do you own two Teslas?
Almost.
Do you?
No.
Mel, we already know the answer. Mel does.
Yes, I do.
He's an entrepreneur. What does that mean, almost?
Well, I've been looking at the P90DL, and that thing just excites the hell out of me.
P90DL. That's a $120,000 car,
No, that's more closer to $150,000 if you actually pay sales tax on it. Of course, I could go to another state and save sales tax, but That, you know, you could. That's why I don't own it yet.
Yeah.
But once it has, you know, full autonomy, which I'm expecting by the end of the year.
What?
Well.
What? Drop the mic? By the end of the year?
Yeah. So I don't know what I'm getting is the shorter answer. Oh, I don't have a commute. So we started this with,
right.
I'm not a commuter. You're right. A commuter.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a commuter. My commute is basically 2 miles.
I think what you should do is either get yourself a nice 70D or get a beautiful Leaf that has some body problems, and we're just going to wrap it in talking Tesla wrap.
Yeah. We'll give you a dollar. What about the BMW i3? So the BMW i3, for those of you that don't know, it has about 80 miles of range. You can get it with this gas backup, so it can become more of a long-range vehicle. So what about that one?
It's a little small for me, I think, even though the Leaf is pretty small as well. And so I was pretty dead set on getting the Leaf so I could save a whole bunch of money for when the Model 3 came out.
Good idea.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then – but then I had gotten to that. Well, I mean, I got into the car accident. I was going to buy a Leaf. I'm like, 10 grand. That is great. This is a reset button. I'd have no car payment. I could save all that money for the Model 3. I looked at the National Institute of Highway Safety mm-hmm. website, and they have a website of photos of all these accidents, right? The like crash tests. And they had my accident. The one that I got into, that three-quarter shot thing, and the whole driver's compartment was like crushed in with like potential leg damage, airbags
in the Leaf.
In the Leaf, yeah.
So airbags, if you had the same crash in a Leaf, you're saying
potentially
you would be
squished. I could, although it was it looked similar in the RAV4. So my guess is, but that my accident was like 1 or 2 degrees off of the like. Angle that they're doing their crash tests on. So long story short, man, I don't know right now.
What about
now,
the Volt? Get a secondhand Volt. Get 50 miles.
I don't like that car either.
You know,
why don't you like that car?
I just don't like the way it looks.
Tesla. Resale value, holding well.
That's not going to be the case when the Model 3 comes out. There's no way. And you really think that would you say, I mean, I guess, I don't know what the 60s were. When they were sold, right? But so right now online, there are a ton of 60s. There's actually a bunch of 85s. Mm-hmm. So that's what made it really interesting. I was like, ooh, I can get a gray 85
Schwing
for just a skosh under 50. But that's double what I paid for the RAV. It's more than any other car I've ever paid. And it's just not going to happen.
And you won't get the tax credits and the
right. And
California
it but, and it doesn't solve. One problem that we have in our house is that it doesn't solve the like gas car long distance for camping sort of situation. So
I've gone camping in my Model S multiple times.
Yeah, did you put your kayak on the roof?
No, but you could. You have to get the pano roof though to get the roof rack attachments.
Well, we'll have to hear more about this. It seems to me that you have to decide, do I need a car that is just going to take me to work and zip around town, in which case a $10,000 secondhand Leaf sounds good. But if you want something that's going to be more off-roadian thing, well, maybe we're not quite ready for Tom to drop 50 grand on an X.
Add this conundrum to it.
Go.
I probably have to buy my daughter a car as well. So I'm looking at having to buy 2 cars, which is one of the big reasons the Leaf came in. So here's the list right now. This is going to sound like a very odd list. The Leaf, the 4Runner, the Highlander all-wheel drive limited, which is about the same price as the RAV4, and an old Volvo XC70 cross country, which is a car that I have coveted for a very long time because I just like the way it looks. And I would love for my daughter to drive that thing around because it is a tank. Safe.
All right, well, we've probably spoken about this for too long, but I would get your daughter a Leaf because it's cheap, she's going to crash it anyway, and it doesn't get her too far out of town before she has to call back and say, Dad, come pick me up.
But some people look at that as a downside. So, like, we've talked about that, right? Like, that gives my kid a 40-mile radius. However, kids being who they are, do you feel that like you're just going to get these freaking phone calls and your AAA flatbed towing fees are just going to go through the roof because they're just going to forget? They're going to get 50 or 60 miles out and at midnight and not be able to get back?
No, because you know if their car only has a quarter tank of gas in it and they decide to take off and go somewhere, they might just forget that as well and end up, whatever, 15 blocks from the nearest filling station, and they're in the same conundrum.
15 blocks from the nearest filling station isn't like for an hour or two away from a charger and an hour of charging.
There's a lot of, in this area, Southern California, if you look at the PlugShare app, there are a lot of fast chargers. Every, you know, I don't know, it depends on, if it's a Leaf, then every Nissan dealer has a CHAdeMO.
There is a lot of fast chargers in Southern California, CHAdeMO, and so I'm thinking, Leaf, I'm just saying, I'm going to move on here.
Leaning that direction.
Shout out to PlugShare.
I just want to give you my updates on what's happening in my life. Please. Got to turn on solar on one of our houses that we rent.
High five.
And it's sun power, and it's making energy as we speak, and it's cool, and it has microinverters on the panel, so when there's a little bit of shading, not that there is any at this place, that it still produces lots of energy.
Big deal.
It's exciting. This I check the app 4 or 5 times a day.
That's so awesome. So now you're making almost as much electricity as a small utility. So we're going to call it Herbert Utility. Yeah, Herbert Utilities.
Fantastic. Very excited. So a shout out to, I've used SunPower. They did a very good job. I've used SolarCity. Tom's used SolarCity. I've used SolarCity.
SolarCity's
very
great.
Good job.
Yeah.
I've bought my own outright Kyocera, which then got bought by Westinghouse, and then I don't know who they have. And they did a good job. I think they're all doing fine works. So now let's talk about new thoughts on the master plan. So it seems like this got a lot less press than I would expect. Yes, it was on some of the sites, but... it seems like a lot of people were sort of yawn. Yeah, of course you're going to make a truck, and yeah, of course you're going to expand out your home services with big batteries. Yeah, that bus thing's interesting, but mostly what I heard was it's all very good, but give us some details, which was what we were complaining about.
But I mean, it's a master plan. There weren't any details with the last master plan. He was pretty successful finally getting there with the master plan. It's sort of just it's a vision quest for that dude on some levels. And I would say, like, I think there was a lot of press in the green press, the sort of the people that we sort of follow, the Tesla Roddies and all those other, a lot of press. The mainstream press might have been busy at a Democratic convention,
Republican conventions.
Like, they're busy. That's a
black hole of all information.
Right. I mean, I think the mainstream press doesn't care because, of course, they want details. There's nothing sexy about this master plan, really. And it is a little bit lacking on details, but it's a roadmap, right? It wasn't meant to be anything other than a roadmap.
I think what's notable of it is how much attention it got coming around part two versus part one. Part one, it was some, you know, Silicon Valley dude who made some software, whatever, PayPal, you know, he had a few, whatever, one-hit wonders, and he's got this vision, and he's just whatever, he's out there. And a few people covered that. But now, it's like splattered everywhere, and everybody's talking about it. We spent an hour and a half talking about it, and now we're going to spend another half an hour talking about it. And I think that's really remarkable. And it's a 10-year plan. How the hell are we going to have details now for what's going to happen in 8 years or even 8 months? I mean, the tech world changes at such a rapid pace that it's going to be an unveiling plan. And I think it's great that he's just thinking big. But what I thought was really bad is that lots and lots of people out there, press, poking holes. This not going to happen. That's not going to happen. Tesla stock dropped, 3% a day later? I should have thought about that and bought a couple more shares.
Well, let's go on then to the Bolt. So the Bolt is coming. This is from Forbes. So this is a blog newspaper that says that, that we are hearing more and more about the Bolt. We should be seeing it in volume by the end of the year, which is freaking freaky. This 200-yard real competitor to the Model 3 is going to come out at the end of the year. People, unlike Tesla, are pretty sure that GM can do it because GM is really good at making cars in volume. They make millions of cars every year. So they're not worried about them hitting their targets as they are with Tesla, which never gets their stuff on time. They're looking to make 20,000 to 30,000, I assume, the first year. Yep. And this guy called Brooks Carruthers, is it? Says, look, I see lots of Volts in the same neighborhoods I see lots of Teslas, so therefore I expect the Bolt, bad name, to do very well there. And so the real question is, will the Bolt eat into the sales of the Model 3 if the Model 3 gets delayed, and does anybody on the planet believe the Model 3 is not going to get delayed?
Meh, I don't know. Does it really matter? The number of these cars that are being sold is minuscule like really small compared to all the other internal combustion engine cars.
Right.
So, you know, like a few hundred here and there, a few thousand here and there, even 10,000 here and there. People are moving towards electrification.
Right. Period. What this is, it's about market share generally for EVs, more EV options. Like myself, people don't want to have one EV option. So now you have somebody who's going to buy a car. They want 200 miles. They want fast charging. The Bolt has, we think, potentially fast charging capability. Not as fast, but we never know. We could be getting there, and we'll talk about that a little bit. Now you're like, okay, so I have this Model 3. It's a sedan style. I have this Bolt. It's a little more of a small SUV style. We know it's going to be quite a while before Tesla has a Bolt-shaped competitor, even though it's in the roadmap for a small SUV. And we may be seeing that in the next 8 months, at least drawings of it. You know, that's sort of seemed like what they were saying in the master plan. So again, it's about options. It's about choices. For a lot of people in Los Angeles specifically, right, we're a very, very widespread metropolitan area. So there are people who drive 80 miles every mm-hmm. day to their office, 60 right. miles to their office. What's your commute when you drive to the hospital?
52 miles.
So 52 miles. So if you couldn't rely on a charger where you worked, you would need to have a car that had at least, let's say, 125 miles to give yourself a little bit of a buffer. And that's what they feel people want. They want right. to be able to – that's what the Bolt is hoping for, is that people will get a level two at their house and it won't matter. They'll drive from Canyon Country to the El Segundo, 60, 70 miles, whatever that is.
Right.
And then they'll be able to go home and charge their car overnight, maybe go to the grocery store in their neighborhood. That is what the Bolt's sort of market segment is looking like.
And also to deal with the lay public's unfounded concern that I want to be able to go anywhere, anytime. So the zombies pop up, I need to drive very quickly to another state. That never happens, nor does half of the things that we want to do with our car ever happen. Oh, I want to be able to carry bags of cement, so I should have a big truck. Or I want to have God knows what. And you just use your car to go to Target and to Trader Joe's and to pick up your kids. And, you know, how many days out of the week do you actually drive more than 50 miles?
Yeah, and that's the conundrum of you need a car that does 99% of what you want it to do. Even though you only do that last 1%, never. But I do like the idea. I think the Bolt, a lot of people said, well, this is now a Tesla competitor because now this is a car that can drive a long way and you can drive to San Francisco and you can drive to Phoenix. And I don't think it's about that at all. I don't think that's the market. I agree with Tom exactly. It is, I've got so much more range than I need. I don't have to worry about it. I have a 50-mile commute. And if the freeway breaks down, this used to be one of my anxieties with the Leaf, freeways break down and they reroute me 30 miles and I'm right on the edge, I'm screwed.
Right.
With a Bolt, and I've got a 100-mile commute, you can reroute me another 50 miles, 75 miles, and I'm good. I've got plenty of range. But I'm still not driving that thing to Phoenix because the doesn't have supercharging. Thank you.
Yeah.
Let's talk about BMW. So as the electrification of the industry is occurring, most of the manufacturers are sort of doing plug-in hybrids right now because of this range anxiety, because they don't have supercharger. So BMW has said, look, we're not going to do a fully electric vehicle until at least 2020. So they've just come out with this BMW 7040EX, which is a 2-liter turbocharged 4-cylinder hybrid that also has an electric motor. This electric powertrain can take it a long way, 28 miles.
Ooh.
And I asked the question, what really is the market for an incredibly expensive, very large car that gets just 28 miles on electricity? And if you look at this article, they say, and that's probably completely bogus because they turned on the air conditioner and went up a hill and it was getting like 12 miles of electric range because it's so damn heavy. So who is buying this? If you're eco-conscious, you're going to spend $90,000 on this car versus an X or an S? No, you're going to buy a Model S or an X. So who is this for? Is this for some people who are on the edge and like, I want a BMW but feel better? I don't even know who's buying this. Who's buying this? Please tell me who's buying this.
I know Tom's not buying this.
No, it's 90 grand. I'm definitely not buying it. If I'm in the market for that, I'm in the market for a Tesla probably.
Which puts it right in the mid-range of Tesla, which, again, it doesn't make much sense to me. But it makes me excited that big automotive manufacturers are going the direction of trying to put batteries in their cars.
But they're already doing this. They made the i8. Why does BMW need two of these cars that have zero electric range? What is the deal with that?
But this is a very the i8 is a supercar looking flat, small. This is a big SUV looking thing.
Where you can put your family.
It's not.
Isn't this not just a big
their big four-door sedan, their 700 series?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. But the i8 is a tiny little squishy fast thing. It's a very different type of car. But I just drove past an i8 and my son goes, that thing's cool. I'm like, yeah, it's kind of electric. He's like, well, how far does it get? What's the range? And I'm like, I think it's 25 miles. I'm like, that's useless.
It can get you to the car show and back every Sunday morning, cars and coffee.
Right. But it's the Volt for guys with a lot of cash.
Right.
I mean, that's basically what it is, right? If you like, you're like, all right, I like the idea of 28 miles of electric. Maybe you're a cosmetic dentist and you live 10 miles.
That is very specific.
Well, they make a lot of money. And you live 10 miles from your office, right? And you're like, all right, I'm going to get a Beamer and I can drive it and I don't have to worry about my long distance driving. It's got a lot of horsepower. So it feels like 99% of the time I'm doing the right thing. So maybe these are in some levels the 99% vehicles.
It just doesn't make sense from a business standpoint. What kind of a market are you actually going to get? It's a very small,
cosmetic dentist, apparently. That lives 10 miles from their office.
I can't imagine, and maybe it's because I'm too much of a Tesla fanboy, so I'm going to drop $100,000 on a car. I'd get an X. I would not get a gas-guzzling car that only gets 28 miles on electricity.
So for $100,000, you're going to get an X60. If you want all the bells and whistles, because at the end of the day, we're looking at $88,000 if you start adding autopilot and the towpath.
Basically the same price.
But plus tax. That's what I'm saying.
Well, this is before tax as well.
200-mile range.
$90,000 bottom line.
Don't get up on my business. you know I'm right.
No.
I'm sure this is base price. And if you're going to pop for a 700 Beamer, you're going to want the nice leather.
Yes.
And you're going to want the I don't know what seats. And you're going to want the – and that thing's going to end up being $120,000, which is about the same as an X. And just in comparison, this last week, a bunch of the LA Tesla Club went down to the Irwindale Speedway and did drag races. And there's a great video or a Facebook post that shows one of the Tesla Club members, a soccer mom, beating the crap out of every single car she went up against with her Model X, like Dodge Hellcats. They all. Boom.
So if you are a cosmetic dentist that also likes to drag race, boom, Model X,
Ludicrous D. Drop a little zombie apocalypse filter on that bad boy and call it done. There are, in my dealings, so we'll go back a little bit, there are a bunch of used X's for sale in the world right now.
Oh, my God.
Most of them are, like, there's some with 1,200 miles, 6,000 miles. I'm not exactly sure what's going on. They're $116,000, $120,000. But if you are a guy who wants an X today, we can make that happen.
Wow.
What's it going to take to get you into an X today?
So what website did you go to find such things?
I was in all kinds of websites. But if you just type anywhere, Model X used like Car Guru. I was using Car Gurus, Auto Trader, CarMax, and a few others. And they're all sort of compilers of all the used things that are available. But if you type, because I was curious what a Model S was outside of Tesla, they're all actually a lot more. So Tesla is a very good deal to buy a Model S through. There's at least a dozen 60s for sale right now.
All right, let's do the world's most efficient car. So this giant BMW you're talking about is very heavy. And then when you turn on the air conditioner and go uphill and drive an electric, it's got like no range at all. But I found a car that is very, very efficient. This is from hybridcars.com. Do you know the world's most efficient EV vehicle? Tom, is it a Tesla?
No.
Robert, is it a Leaf?
No.
A Bolt?
No, not by far.
No, but the Technical University of Munich had a group of very smart kids get together, and they just broke the Guinness Book of World Records. They created a car that has the equivalent of 26,000 miles per gallon. It's an EV that gets the equivalent of 26,000 miles per gallon. Now, it's not practical in any way. It's probably made of helium. You have to lie down. It's super streamlined. Somebody said here that perhaps you could wedge a small kitten in it with you, but that's about it. Holy testicle Tuesdays, 26,000 miles per gallon equivalent. Guinness Book of Records, go Munich.
It doesn't even have turn signals. I do have a question for you guys.
Does it turn?
is it T-Mu or Mu-Tech?
It's not clear.
Technical University.
Somebody
of
did
Munich.
Some math here. Who did Nothing? All this math? This is I good did. Math.
Actually, I thought that it was cool that, you know, if you wanted to go out and find this thing, it's called a TU Fast ELI 14, which
just rolls off the tongue.
Just rolls off the tongue. And it's not even the original model, it's the modified version. But there's a cool picture we're going to put on the website. It's really, really cool looking. I don't think actually that it really turns very much. So I was wondering, how many gallons equivalent would it take to reach the moon? And so here goes the math. So if you're able to get 26,135 miles per gallon, and how many gallons of gas does it take to get to the moon, which is like 250,000 miles?
Well, just wait for 1 second before you do that math. 1 gallon gets you around the world, which is about 24,000 miles.
Right.
Big freeway, 1 gallon of gas around the world. Continue.
At the equator, no less. If you're doing it up on the ice sheet that's slowly melting.
I got a question for you, Mel. Does Robert know it's not a spaceship?
Does Mel know that there's not a freeway that goes around the world? No.
This is all theoretical.
Oh, I'm sorry. If there, continue.
It's not, just as likely that there's a freeway from the Earth to the moon as there's a freeway all around the Earth. So, come on.
Okay.
Go. There's a freeway. Boom. There's a freeway from here to the moon.
One thing's actually more likely because, well, you know, the moon's rotating and the Earth's rotating.
Why don't you go back online and find yourself a Tesla?
Yeah.
Just be quiet.
Whatever.
We're having a fun math game
okay,
here. Go.
Fine. 9 gallons of gas to get to the moon. Would you ever consider that you could get to the moon on 9 gallons of gas? So what about Mars? Mars is pretty far.
Now, that's a long freeway.
How far is Mars? So to illustrate that, I thought, let's do the math for Mars. It would actually take 1,340 gallons of gas to get to Mars. It's more complicated than that, Tom. I know. I've read how it happens, and you have to circle. And
you have to ask the elephant that's holding up the Earth if you can drive by.
If you leave from the ISS,
yes,
then you've solved a lot of the problems.
Yeah, you've saved about 1/10 of 1/100th of a gallon of gas if you're taking a direct shot.
And it's like 95 launches to get all the parts onto the ISS so you can take off from there.
But it's a good segue to talk about space because it's really interesting about the challenges that exist in space. I just wanted to give a little bit about Virgin Atlantic, right? They're the other guys, right? We've been talking about.
I think it's Galactic.
Virgin Galactic, right?
What did you say?
Atlantic. It's further than that.
Different freeway. Space
different,
freeway.
Different distance. So Virgin Galactic, they're getting going again. Right. We had SpaceX. We've been following SpaceX because they're just so cool. And we covered the little phallus a couple weeks ago. Yes. And now we've got this Virgin Galactic. Remember, they sort of like in 2014, this is pre-talking Tesla time, they exploded their spaceship because somebody hit the wrong lever and one guy died and it was a
oops
big mess. And that being a tourist vehicle, you know, you wouldn't want to get on the Princess Cruises that always explodes or catches fire and sinks. So they're recovering from their fatal crash in 2014, but their new Spaceship 2 is preparing its test flight. And in August, they're going to do a test flight, right? They've been doing thousands of pressurization cycles and all this testing on ground. They're doing this test flight, but throughout the test flight, the thing's going to be bolted underneath another airplane.
I was reading that. How do you do a test flight when you're bolted to a 747? You can't really turn. You can't go up and down.
It's more
you can't
like
do
a
flips.
Nanny flight.
It's like,
not really.
It's like taking a test when you wrote all the answers on your forearm.
I guess it's like a test flight when you're learning to drive, but the other person can stop the car and take over at any time.
Right, but is anybody concerned about the name of this thing? Okay, so you've got a very advanced company, a lot of technology. They came up with Spaceship One.
Yeah.
And then it blew up, and they're in a meeting, and they're like, all right, well, we're going to build another one. What do you guys think we should call it?
I'm not genius, but I think Spaceship Two.
I mean, that's it? Really? We got like...
Oh, we
got
to call it B.
We
Spaceship
got
One and Spaceship B.
Dragon
what do you want?
Capsule and the Falcon Heavy and all, and they're like, Spaceship Two.
Yeah, well, maybe they're spending their cerebral energy other ways.
So Virgin Galactic is basically, is all like... Tell me if I'm wrong. Basically, what they want to do is take very rich people, put them into a sub sort of orbital speed, make people flop around weightless for about a minute or two, and then bring them back and say, thank you, that'll be $250,000. Yeah. Is that all of their planning?
That's it. That's the business model.
But they've got 700 bookings.
700 bookings, and I bet you 90% of them are the spaceport needs to be somewhere in the Bay Area. People are like, internet moguls? There's probably like a couple of guys. Actually, I take that back because a day ago, the Dollar Shave Club sold for $1 billion. So there's now some millionaires in the marina. So probably one or two of those guys probably decided
Seattle
to hook up.
I saw that the Dollar Shave Club sold for $1 billion. And I was trying to do the math. Really? If it's a dollar, that's a lot of shaving.
Well, all I can say
it's not really a dollar.
They're not making much money off you and I, Mel. We both have beards.
Hey, let's do renewables. So Obama goes all in. A couple of renewable stories here that I like. This is Inside Jeeves. The Obama administration has just dropped $4.5 billion in a nationwide infrastructure of charging. And it says here, no, it doesn't, because Tom wants to say something. Please.
Well, let's not call it 4.5. It's $4.5 billion in loan guarantees.
Right.
So make that very specific. I don't want people to get all like, subsidies are happening. These are loan guarantees. This is a small part of the DOE, DOT's $30 billion loan program, some of which is earmarked to build a nuclear power plant. So let's all back off and settle down.
Which is probably $25 billion of the $30 billion.
It's the rest of the billions.
It's cost a lot. Anyway, they want to create a nationwide fast charging network by 2020. I don't know what that means. Does that mean a fast charger every 10 miles? Does that mean a charger in Phoenix and one in LA? I don't know exactly what people mean when they say a fast charging network. There are networks and there are networks.
Well, they talked about what the DOE and the DOT are going to do together. They're going to put their little brains together, get their little pencils and their engineerical scales out, and they are going to identify the heavily trafficked corridors across the country, probably east-west, probably north-south, and they're going to build a charging infrastructure, much like Tesla did. And my guess is
they're just going to look at the Tesla map.
They're probably going to be like, Tesla map, we'll put one there, we'll put one there, and maybe we'll put one 30 miles to the left and 30 miles to the right. Like, that's the idea. And the reason of the $4.5 billion in loan guarantees is because it's hard to get a commercial bank loan on something that is potentially an unknown commercial viability.
So that's, the feds are basically saying, we'll back this, you'll get paid back, don't worry, give these guys a chance. This happened with Tesla initially. They took like a $450 billion loan. They got it from the government. They paid it back very quickly. So I like that. The most interesting part of this story, because this is very US-centric, but the most interesting part of the story to me was that they are putting money towards a study to create a 350-kilowatt fast-charging system that could charge a 200-mile car in 10 minutes. Remember that a Tesla charger at max is 145 kilowatts, although it doesn't actually charge at that speed. Right. It charges around 120. So that would be cool. Imagine that. You right now, when your tests are under best circumstances, you plug in, you can get about 170 miles in 20 minutes. But that's, in my experience, under perfect conditions. So if that 20 minutes was then 10 minutes and 15 minutes to go about 200 miles,
swing,
that is pretty cool. We're getting to somewhere where even if there's a little backup for the charger, it's not going to be more than about 10 minutes in most cases.
There's a lot to this thing, actually, right? There's an unprecedented electric vehicle coalition between 50 vehicle manufacturers, electric utilities, and charging companies, states, and organizations. So this is a big deal. This is a lot of companies. Now, I looked down the list, and the one company that stood out to me was Berkshire Hathaway Energy.
Yes, me too.
And why?
Because of Nevada.
Right, because of Nevada. So assholes. Now they've let the wolf in the hen house, as it were, a little bit. I guess it's the fox in the hen house, but it's Berkshire Hathaway, so we'll call them a wolf. And a lot of other companies, Florida Power, you know, there's a whole list of them. Most of the major manufacturers, Tesla is on this list. There's an executive action. This is actually something very interesting, a lot worth reading. It's really about serious infrastructure work on fast charging and charging in general. So these are the kinds of things that will move the whole thing forward, that will reduce people's range anxiety. And again, if they make it a CHAdeMO-capable thing, I'm not exactly sure how this would work for cars that are already built. Maybe it would be a minor upgrade to the onboard chargers to be able to utilize the massive watt system thing. But you could theoretically, in this thing, how fast could you charge a Leaf? You said it was 200 miles in 10 minutes.
A Leaf would charge in literally 5 minutes.
Right. So like less time than it would take to fill it with gas. Doesn't make it any easier to drive cross country, but it makes it theoretically possible anyways.
And it just reduces the anxiety. If you want to go skiing up in San Bernardino Mountains, you know, you have to go up a big hill in Colorado to get to somewhere you want to go. You'll at least have a way to get there. And you'll have to, there'll be a little bit more inconvenience. But at the same time, the physics of charging at that kind of a rate, that would heat the battery up considerably. If you have a car without a cooled battery, something I think you should consider, Tom, unless you're on a short term just waiting for your Model 3, is that buying a car that doesn't have a cooled battery is a problem.
Yeah, it's that rate of charging, it's all about the heat. But Tesla has said the same thing. Strobel said they believe they can get rapid charging down to 5 minutes, but I haven't seen it yet.
In the past 8 years, the number of plug-in electric vehicle models increased from one to more than 20. And battery cost decreased 70%. And they've increased the number of electric vehicle charging stations from less than 500 in 2008, that's 8 years ago, to 16,000 today, 40 times as many. So that's a pretty good amount. And we still, it's not enough. We realize that it's not enough. But it feels like with initiatives like this, now all of that happened with some other initiatives, but with initiatives like this, this continues to happen. Tesla is obviously on board. The utility companies feel like they're on board with this whole thing, and so we're moving the.
I'm excited because I think we're on this threshold where in a few years, that if this stuff keeps rolling the way it is, this anxiety about, well, I don't want to get an electric car because I'm not sure if I can go far enough, that there'll be so many chargers. It will be like gas stations, and it just will not be an issue. So a 100-mile car doesn't matter because there's chargers everywhere. They're coming out of every orifice. I go to Trader Joe's, I go to the mall, I go to the coffee shop. They're everywhere. Once it's like that,
they'll have to be.
Be the bomb.
We just need more outlet malls in places like South Dakota, Nebraska, Wyoming, Texas, West Texas, because if you look at the map I'm showing the boys, this is where all the Tesla superchargers and all the other long-distance chargers are ending up, right, at outlet malls.
It's true.
There's a big section of the country without enough outlet malls.
Which brings us up. Which state wants to take California as the most green? And is it West Virginia?
No.
Louisiana?
Oh, no, no, not Louisiana. Can't be them.
No, it turns out that New York is also dropping serious bucks into this. Andrew Cuomo wants to have 50% renewables by 2030. So they are, just as one state, dropping $5 billion into solar, into offshore wind. Solar City is going to get some of that. GE is going to get some of that. This thing called Fuel Cell Energy is going to get, which is a fuel cell energy storage system. And the takeaway is that they think that they're going to be able to move this thing forward fast, and they're also putting money in and loan guarantees to the giant solar gigafactory that is in New York, somewhere in a part of New York that I don't remember.
The good thing about this, just like what Tom was talking about with the federal loan guarantees, is that this is not really as important for the press, for us as electric vehicle fans. It's really for Wall Street, and it's for mutual funds, because now they can turn their attention towards investing more securely in renewable energy and renewable infrastructure, because they know that the government's got their back if the thing goes down.
So, the feds are working on this. They're helping out with some grants. New York is working on this. California is obviously a long way ahead. So again, we're being very US-centric. But also, somebody's got an article here, I believe it's you, Robert, from the Seattle Times, saying Seattle wants to get into this.
Yeah, so Seattle, the Seattle utility, it's very old, over 100 years old, and they are now changing their mission to include providing fuel for fleets of cars, buses, and trucks that are currently dependent on gasoline and diesel, but they're going to promote electricity. And so they're going to install 400 charging stations throughout Seattle for the city's fleet, and they're going to put 20 fast charging stations around the city. They expect to see the growth of electric vehicles by a factor of four in the next, I forgot how many years that was, by 2020. They're looking to have 12,000 electric vehicles in a city of like 600,000 people, which is pretty amazing. And the neatest thing of all is that Seattle gets 90% of its electricity from hydropower.
So that is impressive. So as Elon has said, the how clean your car is obviously depends on how clean your grid is. So Seattle has a spectacularly clean grid. So all of those cars are super green. Every mile driven is super green.
And if you buy an EV in Washington, the first $32,000 value of the car is sales tax free, which makes all of these 100 range electric vehicles pretty damn cool.
So let's talk about renewables and jobs, because we've got the Republican National Convention, we have the Democratic National Convention, and one of the big issues is about jobs and job growth. And this is an article from the LA Times, which points to a study that says that between 2002 and 2015, a major expansion in renewable energy resulted in 25,000 blue-collar jobs and some 53 million hours of construction work. And this is from a study from UC Berkeley, which says that you can create a lot of jobs in all these solar panels we're talking about and all these cars and all this infrastructure that you have to develop. And I'm just, I don't want to be too political here, but I listened to pretty much all the Republican National Convention, and I heard not one thing about the greenhouse effect, not one thing about global warming, not one thing about how we're going to build solar panels and do things like this. I did hear that they said they want to burn more coal. And I really hope that during the Democratic Convention, which starts today, that we hear a lot about not that we should get rid of the jobs of coal miners and people who dig oil. We shouldn't do that, but we should convert them to clean jobs and point to this kind of stuff. We can create a whole bunch of new jobs that will result in a world that's not on fire, and we'll just retrain people.
How many jobs were created?
25,000.
Well, I heard that just this year, 11,000 coal miners lost their jobs.
So
I'd say a net win. Net win. I feel bad for them, but they could also work to build solar panels.
It's also been noted that those coal miners need to now start digging for lithium. We're going to need a lot of it.
A lot of lithium.
Let's talk about autopilot. We've gone too long, as always, boys. Let's wrap this up. Autopilot. So there has been a lot of hysteria about autopilot. If you read anything.
FUD.
Cool. FUD. Yeah, now explain FUD. I like this concept.
Fear, uncertainty, and doubt. That's how the press is being characterized as their response to the one death. Unfortunate, sad. I mean, if it was anybody I knew, I'd be really, really sad. But FUD.
So this BGR article says that people being hysterical over autopilot, and Consumer Reports of all people is being super hysterical, going from saying the Tesla Model S is the greatest car that's ever occurred, it got the highest scores, everybody should buy one, to a year later saying they should turn off autopilot and what the hell's going on with this car. So Consumer Reports, in my mind, is acting very sillily, and that's not a word. So this article basically says, what happened with that autopilot death was an incredibly rare event. It was a machine failure. It was a human failure. All of these other Tesla fails that you've heard about, essentially all of them so far to date, have not been Tesla autopilot failures. They have been human failures where Tesla autopilot wasn't even turned on or was being used completely inappropriately.
Although, full disclosure, there are a couple of folks who are claiming that Tesla is being untrue with their data. So, like, let's report both sides of it. I'm not saying that I believe either way, but they're one of the gentlemen, I can't remember which accident, his was one of the early autopilot accidents. He's claiming that it was on. Tesla's claiming that it wasn't on. So it's a he said, the car said kind of a situation.
I don't see, I might be ignorant in this, but it would be very bad for Tesla to say it wasn't on and they have the data, and then for the NTSB to come along and say, show us the data, and they're lying.
But you're assuming that software that is never buggy. Like, I mean, things happen, right? It's beta software. I understand it's a weird kind of beta software, and I'm not arguing on either side of it, and I hear where you're coming from. I think that would be very irresponsible of Tesla, and also probably a lot of SEC violations would be happening
just
at
so
that point
much
as well.
Badness that can go for them for lying.
I don't think they were going to take that kind of risk. And as well, you know, I've been following Musk and sort of the Tesla SpaceX world for quite a few years now. It just doesn't fit with the ethos of the organization.
But again, I don't think if this is happening, I don't think it's anything that's happening purposefully. I think that it could, if this is happening, it could be a software bug where it's not reporting properly. Again, I don't know. It could be that autopilot turned off a half a second before. It could be, like Mel says, the guy just didn't think autopilot was on, but or was off or on or whatever
that,
the situation,
I think,
right?
Is the single biggest problem in my experience of driving the X a lot with autopilot it's easy to turn off and to not know or to forget. And I think a lot of the issues are with that, which I think Tesla really does need to work on. When Tesla autopilot is on, it should be clear. And when it turns off and it's staying off, it should be clear. And I don't think that little blue stripe is enough, because there's been many times where I think it's on and I'm zipping down the road and then I realize, oh my gosh, I was letting the car go in a straight line, but it was not steering.
I think we should have Rick Moranis's harried voice coming on, screaming at you, autopilot is off.
Sir, prepare ship for light speed.
No, 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 light speed is too slow.
Light speed too slow?
Yes, we're going to have to go right to ludicrous speed.
Ludicrous speed? Sir, we've never gone that fast before. I don't know if the ship can take it.
What's the matter, Colonel Sanders? Chicken?
Prepare ship! Prepare ship for ludicrous speed! Fasten all seatbelts! Seal all entrances and exits! Close all shops in the mall! Cancel the pre-ring circus! Secure all animals in the zoo!
Give me that, you petty excuse for an officer! Now hear this! Ludicrous speed!
Sir, hadn't you better buckle up?
Ah, buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Rick Moranis, ludicrous mode. Going plaid.
Okay, now I have to edit that in because nobody's going to get that reference.
Google it.
All right, let's talk about the Gigafactory.
Oh my God.
You are going to TMC Connect. You are going, and I'm looking at Robert, you're going to the Gigafactory event. Somehow, through all of your contacts, you wangled a Willy Wonka ticket. Please tell us how that happened.
The golden ticket. It's actually, I'm not going to the Gigafactory. I'm going to the Chichai Gigafactory. That's Japanese for little Gigafactory.
The 1/7 size Gigafactory.
What does that mean?
Because only a tiny portion of the Gigafactory is actually built. Although, see that big mound of dirt? That's the old Gigafactory. What's built so far is a little bit, 1/7 the size.
And they've already they've already bought up another, like, I don't know, another space for another 66,000 square feet.
Why does it look like they're building a racetrack around it?
Yeah, for the X's.
It's for all of the trucks that are going to have to deliver the lithium for the batteries. Yeah, so they've got 1,000 construction workers working 2 shifts a day, 7 days a week to build this thing. And though that's not as many as you might expect for a huge project, this thing's moving at quite an amazing clip. If you look on electric, how's that?
Electric! Electric!
If you look on electric, there you can go on the Gigafactory feed and look at photographs of the Gigafactory literally month by month, because they've got some dude who likes to fly in Phoenix, Reno, who actually flies over the Gigafactory practically every month taking pictures of the thing. And you can see how it's progressing. And it's impressive. I just wonder when they're going to start throwing the solar panels on top, because that's going to be really sweet.
When the Gigafactory in Buffalo is open to build them.
They're going to need it.
They're like, which Gigafactory? What came first, the solar Gigafactory or the lithium Gigafactory?
So yeah, I'm excited to go to the 475,000 square foot footprint Gigafactory. Who knows? I looked at the temperature. It's only going to be 103 degrees.
That sounds lovely. So again, how the hell did you get your ticket? That's what the people want to know.
Well, so those of us who are members of the club that is the Los Angeles Area Tesla Club.
I'm a member.
You are?
Yeah. Well, it was free, so I joined.
I recommend joining.
I'm
it's cheap. A good thing.
I'm and a member. So I get the emails.
We put out an email. Does anybody have like a plus one ticket? One person, they're not planning on bringing someone for some reason. And sure enough, 3 people popped up. And those tickets then went out.
Into a lottery? Like, was it a random drawing, or did you use your executive
powers? Was there alcohol involved?
There
favors?
Were roofies.
Oh, nice. You used your executive powers, didn't you?
Well, I know the guy who had the one plus.
Oh, there you go.
We worked together.
So did he win his plus one from the raffle that we all entered and didn't win?
No, he's the president. It's good to be the president.
He's the president of the Tesla Club LA.
That's right.
So he got an invite just on his own?
Presidents got invited.
It's good to be the king.
Wow. Yeah.
Yeah. The history of the world.
I'm not
president of nothing.
A couple of tidbit facts is that Panasonic is having a problem hiring enough technical people to build the batteries. Right now, they're just assembling batteries. They're shipping the batteries in from Japan or wherever they're created, probably China. And the folks at the Gigafactory currently are actually putting battery packs together. You can actually look inside the Gigafactory. I probably won't be allowed to take any photographs, but someone from the Wall Street Journal took a photograph. The show notes will have the link. You can actually look inside. Guess what color the inside of the factory is?
Red and white?
Red and white? I just saw a lot of white. But white. Yes, that was a predictable, no? And so they're trying to get more people to work there. If you know how to make batteries or you want to sit in a room and just assemble battery cells, you should look
into actually it. A bit of an aside for a second there, that Apple has said the same thing, that they can't hire enough engineers to build all the stuff they need to in the US. And China has these institutes that creates all these engineers. And it sounds like Tesla's having the same problem. We're really good at creating lawyers and finance people, and not so good at creating people who can do engineering.
And building walls to keep out those foreigners.
That's what we need.
Yes. And so
it's not going to stay.
New news is that one cool thing about the about the Gigafactory is that they're actually going to be building a new battery. A new battery. And if you look at the batteries that are currently in your Model S or your Model X, they're called 18650. So I just deciphered this for myself and now for you. 18650. That means they're 18 millimeters wide and 650 millimeters long. That's the size of the battery. But they're now going to transition to a 2070. I'm sorry, a 2700 battery, which is going to be, you guessed it, 20 millimeters wide and 70 millimeters long. And what does that matter? It's going to allow them to increase the battery density, the energy density in the batteries, the battery packs.
Four 500-mile battery is what I want. Come on, make it happen. 500-mile battery.
And so, anything else? Let's see. I'm just excited to go. Hopefully, I won't die of heat stroke. They're going to hopefully have some air conditioning flowing, and they won't make us sit outside in tents in 103-degree heat.
So what's the plan? You fly up there. Are you going to connect? Are you not going to connect?
I'm not going to connect. I have to work the night shift before the Gigafactory event, which is going to be difficult because I'm going to have to, you know, basically score some crack cocaine and to stay up for this whole thing. But I'm going to fly up to Reno, 11 o'clock Southwest. Then I'm going to go maybe take a nap if I can get a room early enough. And then the Gigafactory event starts at 5. I don't know how long people are going to be lining up ahead of time, because to get there early means you're going to get your tour early. Evidently, they're going to have cars there for demos.
Free driving.
Woo-hoo. I don't know. That would be sweet. And there's going to be, of course, vodka and food and techno music.
That's cool. Yeah, we said none of us can go to the Tesla Connect meeting. We had fun there last year, but they waited so long, I think, so they could get this factory thing that it just, I already had plans. Tom's got plans. You got plans. You got shifts.
Yeah, I think the problem was that Elon dropped the bomb on them, in that he announced the Gigafactory grand opening right on the middle day of Tesla Connect, right? It's like Thursday night, Friday, and Saturday breakfast. And on Friday night, he dropped the bomb that he's going to do the Gigafactory event, and they were going to do it down here in Southern California.
Oh.
They were going to do it at, I think it was the Marriott in in Manhattan Beach. And all of a sudden, scratch, they had to stop, and I'm sure they're having a hard time. But Just because you're going to TMC Connect does not mean you're going to the Gigafactory. I just want to be clear about that. They're being pretty clear about that as well, TMC.
Yeah.
Lastly, let's do a couple of letters and we'll call this done. So here's one from Annie McLeod. He says, great shows. I just want to pass along my appreciation for some really great shows lately. I'm not sure what it means by that.
Since I joined. Ones. Since Robert joined.
Could be. The discussions on the events around the discussions on the events around the death of Jay Brown and the most recent Master Plan Part 2 have been some of the best. I have no idea how much work it goes into creating the podcast, but I appreciate all the time and effort. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Hope to see you in person at TMC Connect next week.
Was that three thank yous?
You will not. Yeah. Three thank yous.
One for each of us.
Sorry, Andy. You might run into Robert if you got a golden ticket at the Gigafactory. He's the tall one.
Hi, everybody. This is from Franco Capizio.
Capizio.
All right. I just wanted to say I really enjoy the podcast. I've been listening since January, and I think the podcast is really informative and with just the right amount of turn the page insanity. Thank you. I also tossed a little donation your way. Thank you.
Thank you, Franco.
I know you guys talk mostly about Tesla, but with all the potential competition out there, it would be interesting to hear about all of the other cars. And I think we did that at the beginning for you in particular, Franco, about Tom's decision-making. How is he going to decide what to get?
That will continue.
It will continue, I believe, for many months. Tom's not going to decide anytime soon.
Take some bets as to what Tesla number 50, 60, 70 that I come in and say, oh, I bought a car.
Yeah, it's a used Model 3. It's 4 years old. I'm like, oh my God, how long has this been going?
I do have a question for you, though. So we all these letters that we read, they're all very positive about us. Do we get any negative letters and you just decide to not read them?
No, it's not like that at all.
So I would like for that to continue. I do not want to hear anything negative. I couldn't take it.
If you want to read negative reviews, there's one negative review on iTunes. Yes. It stands out. It calls us numbnuts and idiots, which we embrace. Thank you.
You're welcome.
It is a little inaccurate, though. It says none of us own a Tesla.
And between us, there's four.
Yeah.
And there was five.
And there's only like another six reservations for Model 3s.
Yeah, we have like a fleet of Teslas, really.
We're responsible for...
I'd really like that guy to revise his thing. I know you're still listening, whoever you are.
Yeah, you're out there. You're listening.
He can redeem himself.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, that was Talking Tesla 44.
The palindrome.
The palindrome episode. It was Rob, it was Mel, and it was Tom. And good luck out there, Robert. Come say hi to Robert if you see him at the Gigafactory event.
I look forward to seeing you all.
And Tom, what'll you be doing? Will you be crying and weeping?
I'll be on car websites. You'll be on car websites. 20 hours a day.
Great,
it's upsetting.
And I'll be checking how much solar energy I'm producing. It'll be great.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen.
That's fantastic.
Bye-bye.
Happy trails.
Good work, boys.
Why?
Because we're
talking
Tesla.